Can I please have beer? Anything for family. Shotgun slung on the shoulder.
Hello, you. It's time once again to pour one out with the Pouring Old Man. My name is Russell, and this is episode 41 of the Pouring Old Man podcast. Thank you for joining us once again. We have a very exciting show lined up for you today. But first, pouring one out with me today. He's back. He's back. He's big. He's bold. He's got a swagger like he's made of gold. It's Anthony Pitt.
Wow. Okay. Thanks, mate. That's a nice
It's been a while, myself. Yeah. All right, now I've got
razzmatazz.
Like a stocking.
He was pouring old man number 4. His dad once took him to a pub whore. He makes online bloopers. He swears like a trooper. We call him from Crystal next door.
Oh, g'day, lads.
And rounding out our audio quartet for today. No, it's not Warren. We have a special guest on the show today. Please welcome from Brick Lane Brewing, Josh Lampard.
Hello, hello.
Yes, welcome, mate.
Welcome. Thank you. So today we, with Josh here, we've got a bit of a Brick Lane focus. We've got a few beers we're going to try, three of which I'm really excited about, so we're looking forward to those. So do you want to tell us a bit about yourself, Josh?
Yeah, well, my name's Josh. I used to work with Russell way back when. It's been, 2 years now, something like that.
That was so far along. Pre-COVID days.
Really? Yeah, it feels a long time ago.
For a young fellow like me.
Dude, do you remember a time when you didn't have to check in to go into a venue? It was back then.
Yeah. What? How do you know where you've been?
But yeah, no, I work in the craft beer industry. I'm a sales rep. I started out at a very small brewery named Four Hearts. You guys know, know them, good bunch of blokes over there, some of them. now I work for Brick Lane and, loving life. Driving around, selling beer and, couldn't ask for a better company.
It's a great gig, mate. There's shittier ways to make money.
Yeah.
So as I mentioned, Warren isn't with us today. He's at home on OnlyFans, frantically downloading as much pornography as possible before they shut down the service. That's got to stand as one of the worst business decisions ever made, isn't it? It's
fucking funny. If something gets good,
yep.
Someone's got to come with a big stick and regulate. That's all it is. So OnlyFans only got on the radar because of porn. Before then, it was just people going, hey, man, I'm really cool at video games, or hey man, I can make a finger puppet.
Yeah.
Come and support me. Yeah, porn, it just went through the fucking roof.
Yeah.
Okay, the next thing is, it's like with anything, cryptocurrency was massive. TikTok started banning shit because people were giving financial advice over massive fucking loophole. It's the same fucking shit. Anyway, carry on.
You're really fine.
It just gets under my goat when people start winning and beating the system. Yeah. Someone comes in and chops their fucking legs.
That's right. We are lacking servers at the moment, waitresses and.
Yep.
Yeah, they're all coming back.
Oh, then were they all gone?
Coming back with 7 Series BMWs.
Oh, I've had to downgrade my lifestyle.
Well, you know the strip clubs have been closed with COVID, so...
I've got to hire like a gaming Nintendo and some old guy there in the bar, I know you from somewhere.
Hang on.
There used to be a count here that's disappeared all of a sudden.
Okay, well, so you get in there, mate, and get the most of it.
He's doing it for the little people. For his little person, I should say.
What? Little ones, yeah.
Over in America, they're going to stop tipping because they're just going to be like, I've already tipped you in the app.
Oh, man.
Brilliant. Jeez.
So, who are we? We are the Pouring Old Man. Just a few old-timers treating our dipsophobia with immersion therapy and talking about the beers we love. That's a fear of alcohol for those playing at home.
Nice. Thank you for explaining.
Yeah. Oh, it's a theme for what's coming later.
Yeah.
We release fresh episodes of the show into the wild every Tuesday morning on all your favourite podcast services. If you like what you hear, be sure to leave us a like, a rating and a review and tell all your friends and spread the good word. On the socials, you can find the Pouring Old Man on Instagram. Plus, be sure to join our brand new Pouring Old Man Facebook group where we share stories, news and reviews and have some friendly chats about the craft beer world. You can also find our pages on Instagram, Pouring Old Russ, Pouring Old Pity, Pouring Old Wazza, and the new and criminally underutilized Inglorious Beer Snacks.
Correct.
Speaking of which, actually, what's the beer snacks today? It's
I've got a bit fancy and got the Red Rock cheddar and parmesan.
And the dip today is spicy capsicum. There we go. Living life large.
Well, I figured spicy food, beer, whatever. What, seriously?
No frills over here, mate.
isn't spicy capsicum just big chili, though?
I just meant style.
Right, so, what have you been drinking? Oh, no, go, Pit.
So, a couple of good ones that I've had recently were the Ballistic Sleep When You're Dead, the Juicy Double IPA.
Yes, so yep.
Got all of that. That was really enjoyable.
We have to speak of the fact that it wasn't a hazy.
Yes, yes. So it was weird because I thought it was a cross between like a West Coast and a Nipah. So it had that fruitiness of the Nipah, but that sort of crisp resin sort of a typical West Coast. One that I did really enjoy was the All In Brewing's Full Harvest, their rye IPA.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really enjoyable beer. So. Different. Yeah, it was quite malty, but still had the crispness and piney of an IPA. And then I also had Crumman Valley's Waste Oil Stout.
Yes. That's a good one.
Yes, so it was... Russell
loves big and black things.
Well, yeah.
Just see my OnlyFans account. Just get there before October.
It was old school. It was dark, raw, bitter. Like, that was it. It was a stout.
You're talking about OnlyFans? Oh, sorry. Okay.
Dark, raw, and bitter.
Yeah.
That's good. That's where a stout should be, though.
Yeah.
Dark, like, raw, and a good, like, bite at the end. A bit of bite.
Was impressed, too, because I posted it on Instagram, and Crumman Valley actually reached out because I sort of made the comment on the flavour and gave the tip that next time I have one, should leave it out for about 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, get it down to temperature.
And said it'll actually have a real toffee flavour to it. Yeah, right. So with that, I bought a second one. So so the test will be on sometime this week.
Yep.
Oh, I'm going to be brief. I've had an abundance of fucking beers over the last few weeks. Just, I don't know why. But one that's really going to stand out for me is the Bad Shepherd Peanut Butter Porter.
Yes.
Holy moly.
Join the club.
Just try it. The flavour, the name says it all. It's just like, it's like Forrest and Jenny bound to be together.
What?
I was trying to think of something that comes together. It's like,
you're really relevant with your references, aren't you?
Oh, mate. Oi, with peas and carrots.
Josh wasn't even born when Forrest Gump came out. Come on.
That's true. It hits that peanut butter well.
Yeah,
but it's not like just eating peanut butter. Fucking just try it. That's all I can say.
Have you had the Ether peanut butter stout? The creature.
I've had that.
You've had that? How do you compare them?
Yeah, that's a good one. Mm. I think I said this the other night. Oh, no, I actually put the Bad Shepherd slightly a nose in front.
Yeah.
But they're equally as good.
Before we get on to mine, first beer of the day from Brick Lane. Josh, do you want to tell us what this one is?
Yeah, mate. So this is the brand new super ultra low alcohol hazy pale ale.
I'm loving the can up, by the way. It's like a 1980s athletic competition.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the 1982 Mexico International Athletic Tournament or something like that.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely that 70s vibe, which
we've
intentionally gone for. If you and your listeners want to jump onto Instagram, you can follow Sidewinder Life and
that's got a lot more like depth of colour that I thought. I thought it'd be quite a pale. Again, we had the Lola last week, which is quite pale and almost like
translucent.
It's almost vacant of colour. That's got a real nice sort of that deep amber kind of look to it.
Well, there's pale ales that struggle with that topic.
So we you know, obviously releasing a hazy pale ale, we have to make sure it's actually hazy. It's got a good depth of colour, holds its head pretty well. it's collar. There's a guy who said the, you know, he goes, oh, is it weird to have this much collar on my beer? And everyone went, what?
That's why I've transitioned over to the Porn Old Men Facebook group. It's far better. We don't allow this sort of nonsense in there.
If you speak shit, we just boot you.
Less of the dick component.
That's why Warren's not in there anymore. He lasted 3 days and we gave him the ass.
So look, you'll get tropical undertones. It's still 1.1%, so you know, don't expect it to be like a one love because it's, you know, it's impossible to get 1.1 to that level of flavour. Yeah. But for what it is that, easily the best.
Right, it's a 1.1% beer. There's a lot of like flavour in there. Like I said, it's got that sort of tropical, that sort of guava coming through.
Has a really nice smell to it. It smells fresh, doesn't give you that watered down smell that you normally get with low alcohol.
I know it's a different thing. Like the Loha last week, like this is kind of what I expected from the Loha.
Mm.
Like they're kind of like fruit, there's a bit more sort of fruitiness to it.
Are you saying, Russ, that this tastes better than Loha?
Yes.
All right, hang on, tick.
It's not wise because you're sitting here, but yeah, fucking definitely. Again, great collar. Good colour, great taste, and for the low APV, it's still holding that beer.
Yeah.
And I haven't had the low hard, but you can't distinctly tell that it's a low alcohol beer.
Mm. Like, no, that's exactly right.
It's lighter, but it's not that watery sort of flavour that you
get. Yeah, and that's always the danger when you go into the low alcohol beers that you get the wateriness and and the flavour. It starts off and it fades away, but this is. It just sticks there. Like, it's really nice. Like, again, it doesn't taste like it's only 1.1%. It tastes like you normal sort of 4.5% kind of beer. Like,
I like that tropical finish.
After one or two sips, you don't actually realise you're drinking a lot. No. You're just like, okay, well, this is a really good beer.
Second big mouthful I just had was good.
As I said, like we were in the shed on Friday moving into our new home, and four of us went through a cart and then just jumped in the car and went, all right, let's go. See you later. You know, because you can realistically have 7 or 8 in the first hour and 4 every hour after that and still not hit the legal driving limit.
Christmas Day. You have to put up with the in-laws or the family. You can smash these and at least comfortably drink a fair few without having an arse to yourself.
Yeah.
Where's it available?
Mate, look, you'll be able to find it in most retailers. We like to say go to your local independent and ask them for it. So, you'll pretty much be able to find it in every major bottle shop in Australia.
Yeah, good.
On the East Coast. So, Queensland, New South Wales and Victoria.
And sorry, Brutal Libre, you probably won't be able to pick this up.
You can also jump online and order it online. You can get it shipped to your house in 2-3 days. Mate, it'll sit around the $50 carton, which is pretty good price. Yeah. $13-14.
So 16 or 24 on a card?
16. So cubes. But you get 4 packs for $14, I think.
Which is great value too.
Yeah.
Under 15, that's a good point.
Yeah, 110%. And it's just easy. You pick it up. You know, on the way home, you go, I've got to go see the in-laws for dinner. You just pick up a 4-pack and then, you're doing a nice thing. You're driving for the miso and...
Scoring some points that you can miss on the weekend.
Got the big one sneaking under the seat.
Don't worry, I don't drive to the in-laws, so it's all good. But if I ever have to, I've got my beer sorted.
I really like that, eh?
It's also a good one, too, to have in the fridge where you come home... You're fanging for a beer.
Mm.
You want to crush one quickly and then sit down with the higher ABV one and then enjoy that one. This will kill that sort of.
So this would be great. Like, if we go back into lockdown here in Brisbane, I had to do homeschooling. This is a good lunchtime beer for me. Anytime there's a brain break, I'm ready. That's a sidewinder break.
I got them on the Monday of lockdown, and that was the first day of emails and calls only.
Yep.
You weren't allowed to go and visit people, so you're just adding to the bombardment of breaths everyone wants to hear.
Yeah.
But I got the carton immediately into the freezer. It went. Lunchtime came around. All right, let's give it a whirl.
That's an absolute cracker. And this is not just because you're here. That's
blowing smoke up your ass.
Not even for what it is. Like, if you take away the fact that it's a 1.1% beer, it's a really tasty beer.
Well, it is mid 20s outside.
Yeah.
That's why I think this is really adding to it too. It's starting to warm up, so it's freaking really tasty.
It'll be a summer beach banger.
As we carry on with Sip Away that one, I'll go over what I've been drinking. So the ones I wanted to mention, first one, it's quickly elevated itself into one of my favourite beers of the year. Moonlight and Pretzels from Working Title Brewery. Holy shit, this was a flavour bomb. It was just amazing.
I've seen a few people actually come on and say it's the best stout they've had all year, which
is... It's a salted...
We might have to be careful what we say.
Well, we haven't tried it.
So far,
yes.
Yeah, so those are... It's a salted caramel and pretzel pastry stout. and it just works. Like the it's weird, like the salt kind of comes through, like you got the real pretzel flavour, but the salt comes through, you know, when you bite one of the traditional big ass pretzels, and you get like the big bits of salt on top. It's like that flavour coming through. You got the sweetness of the caramel, and it just
the sea salt and that.
I just sat there because I always put theirs in the big old 500ml can, so it's sitting there quite nicely. Oh, this is fucking amazing. Like, really top notch beer. I think what's three, I think three of the beers I've had so far, and they've all been bangers. Really happy with that one. The other one, I think we mentioned that briefly, we're looking forward to it the other week, Slipstream, the Feijoa Sour.
Yes.
Now, being a Kiwi, love my Feijoas.
You've mentioned that
I have. Yes, yeah. And I've been waiting forever for someone to actually nail the Feijoa flavour, because to me, it lends itself to being a good sour or good flavour in a beer, and Slipstream absolutely nailed it. It's just got that distinctive Feijoa like tartness and zestiness that it has, coming through a well balanced sour. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. Yeah. You look surprised, Chris. It wasn't a stout.
It wasn't big and bold and beautiful. It was a sour.
It's funny because we've always talked about it as a flavour that, because it lends itself already to the tartness, it's a battle to get the balance right.
And so many other times they pair it with other fruit flavours. I think Ballistic did like a kiwi fruit and Feijoa one, and it just went missing.
Yeah.
You've really got honed in on it, because although it's distinctive, it can be quite a light sort of flavour. It just really worked. Well, it just brought back all these like memories of eating Feijoas back in the backyard in New Zealand sort of thing. Really, really good beer, that one. And the other one I want to mention, getting back onto the dark beer stuff, Bright Brewing, Maple Heist Porter.
they did just make that for you, didn't
pretty
they?
Much, yeah. I love maple syrup flavours in dark beers. It just works, and this is an absolute cracker. I really enjoyed that one as well.
Sounds great.
Yep.
What do you like?
What do you mean?
Without being biased by Brick Lane, what sort of style beer?
I like a bit of everything, but one of my good mates, Reese, he's got me onto the mountain culture train.
Yep,
I'm loving those mountain culture beers. Yeah. I had last night their new Nipa. I can't remember what it's called.
That'd be pretty good.
Creative Juices. Creative Juices, yeah.
They just seem they're consistent at that high level.
It was very good. But like apart from that, I've just been drinking a lot of darks because of the Trilogy of Fear. That's been released. So I've been doing a lot of comparisons. One that I had the other night was the Deschutes Abyss, because one of ours is called Abyss, so we had to do the comparison. Oh my god. Is it a good beer, you know? It's
all right, so show and tell today. Aussie running with the Brick Lane theme here. We already had one that really good. I really enjoy that side wonder, actually, I must admit. Next one up is a return of an old one we had here, but it's in a new dress code, basically. This is Brick Lane Avalanche Hazy IPA. Josh, do you want to tell us about this one?
Yeah, mate. Brand new release of Avalanche. So something just come out. Cans haven't hit yet. Kegs have seen their way out and into the town, but cans are coming this week, next week. We've tweaked the recipe, so we'd like to change it up every 3 to 6 months just to suit the weather, and we've used a bunch of Kiwi hops.
Good stuff.
It's tasting really, really fresh. So
what were the hops called?
Matuka, Ruaka, and Waiti. I'm still not pronouncing Matuka right. Matuika.
So in Kiwi terms, it would be Mochiweka, Waiti, and Ruaka.
Okay, cool.
I only know Mochiweka because there's a town, I think, in the South Island called Mochiweka, which would be where that's from.
So it grows like off the, you know, the drains or something.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
It's like any pub in Australia. And there's rosemary growing at the back.
In the backyard of Aunt Nettie's, government flat.
Next to the Devil's Lettuce.
There'd be like four suburbs of Devil's Lettuce and just one suburb of Hops.
Anyway, that's pretty cool. So a bit about the Avalanche you want to tell us about.
Yeah, mate. So it's just, you know, it's a hazy IPA that's meant to taste, you know, nice and juicy, but still, you know, have different tweaks to the flavour. So
is it just the different hops every time, or do they change the base?
No, they change the base. I mean, last one was oat malt, a lot of oat malt. This one, I think, they add a little bit less.
Yep.
So slightly less hazy, but still packed full of flavour. You just get a little bit more of those winter notes out of this one. So it's a little bit more piney, a little bit of... it's not really too resinous, but you do get a little bit there. But it's still, you know, nice and tropical.
Yep.
You know, a lot of citrus in there, so... As you'd expect from the hops that we use. But we generally try and stick along the same lines, just with slight tweaks.
Yep.
You know, to it.
Yep. Break that one open there.
Does have that, yeah, familiar, that kiwi hop
smell. Spoil that, Chris. You got a spoon for that one, mate? Just trying to put a cherry on top of mine, mate, or?
Trying to give it some head, son.
Do that in your own
time. Can I have some beer with my head, mate? Jeez, you've done yours even worse, mate.
Yeah.
Gross. All right, I'll pour in the next
one. Great head on it. Real good clarity.
I'm going to say, just look at the other side of it. Yeah. We got a perfect
one. Pity and Josh will give tasty notes. We'll, once the head settles in 3 hours' time, me and Chris will come back to you. We'll just grab a spoon and start digging our way through it.
I think there's a default with the cans.
No. Mate, I've been drinking them all week. There's no
research.
Colour's interesting.
Yeah. So a little bit lighter than the last one, not as hazy. No. Still got enough haze in there.
It's the haze, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
Good clear head though. Like, look at that. Good smell.
Big time. You'd almost get similar notes to that of a West Coast, just in, you know, the hazy hazy style.
Yeah, you've got that, you mentioned like that piney flavour really comes through, but it's not like danky pine, it's nice. Sort of fruity refreshings. It's got that sort of
stone fruit.
Apricot and that sort of stuff coming through.
Yeah. Did you guys get a chance to try Stereo Breaker, the collaboration we did with Pink Boots?
No.
That was a ripe ale, and that was like this, just toned down a little bit, more on the earthy, darker side. And that was, that was pretty sensational.
I like those types of beers.
Yeah. And it's 5.8% too, so. Pretty bang.
So this is 6.7%.
6.7, yeah.
You know what? This is a great hazy.
Yeah,
it's for everyone.
Well, obviously, there's like two categories of hazy. There's the hazies you have it and it punches yourself in the face with like flavour. It's intense. You have that, you move on to something else. And then there's ones like this one, which you can have two or three and not get sick of it, not get overrun by the flavours. And this is really good for that. Like, you can have a bit of a session on this one and have two or three sort of thing. And you know, like, as much as, you know, Mountain Culture and Range and all that do really good hazies, I'll probably have one can of that, then I've got to give my taste buds a rest afterwards.
Yeah.
Whereas this, you can just, like, you know, knock a couple back and still taste something afterwards. It's, good everyday drinking hazy sort of thing.
Yeah. You don't really compete with Malta's hazy. It's literally like powerful.
Yeah, and that'd be that same sort of category. Yeah, Malta hazy, the goat from Black Ops and all those ones. It's in that same sort of...
Cool range hazy.
This is, again, in front, even though Malta was sort of the AGs with it. This is definitely nose in front, a bit, if not a bit more. So easy.
It is really, really nice and fresh too. But the great thing about the last couple of avalanches we've done, they've aged really well.
Yeah, right.
So they're generally on the market for 6 months or so. Plus, you might have some stragglers still floating around. But they hold their flavour pretty well. It doesn't go to that malty, yeasty, yucky taste at all. Yeah. You know, and I still had green avalanches up to about 2 weeks ago, and they're still tasting fresh. You know, they're a year old pretty much. So. Okay.
What ones were the yellow ones last summer?
Yellow ones. Yeah, so that was the summer edition. That was the one with Idaho 7. Yeah, no, it's an absolute cracking drop. So when we had it at Frankie's, obviously Frankie's is an amazing smokehouse. Just, really beautiful smoked meat.
Yeah.
I think it had about 8 schooners in the space of about 2 and a bit hours.
Oh, wow.
And my missus was finishing work at 7:30, so I just had to wait for her to get back in.
Shucks,
let me tell you, it was...
smoked meat.
I wasn't going to be served another one.
So what's they set up with Brick Lane down in Melbourne? Do they have their own brewery now, is that right?
So we started out... you know, the first ever editions we weren't in our brewery, but then we, you know, since then we've developed quite a large brewery. We output 14 million litres a year.
Wow, yeah.
And we've just announced that we're doing a refit.
Yep.
For another 14 million litres to go on top.
So you definitely got the supply there.
Yeah. And we do a lot of contract brewing, so, Heaps Normal, Stone & Wood, Young Henry's.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sometimes they run out of space, so they just come and see us.
Yeah,
which makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you have a look at, you know, some cans that have been, contract group by us, they'll say, you know, brewed by mates of Henry's, or, you know, brewed by Brick Lane.
And they got a they got cellar bar down there as well.
Yeah, yep. So they got the at the tap room itself.
Yep.
And then they've also got Queen Vic Markets.
Okay.
Down there, so which they operate, which is, you know, a really really awesome venue, and the team down there are very professional and, you know, world class. So
yeah.
Like we're up to about 60 team members now, or nice. Something like that. It's like, yeah.
Take a big mouthful. That initial feel that you get. What is it? It's like a guava, but. It's not.
Yeah, that's the that piney stone fruit kind of.
Yeah.
Mm. But it's big, but it just tapers away.
Mm. Dies off. That's right. That's where I got a little bit confused with the resin, because it's not resinous.
No.
It's, you know,
no, you're right. It's pine, but it doesn't have that resin dank.
Yeah.
I think that's what I like.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't like a big, thick, you know, pine.
Like at the end, and then you sort of.
It's similar, because you get the big West Coast that have the big resiny taste. And again, really enjoyable, but after a while, it kind of just batters your palate.
It's almost like a herby sort of taste, rather than that real piney, earthy, grassy sort of thing. It's more just that a little bit fresher. Yeah.
That's good.
I'll
fucking like that.
If
we were scoring that, that'd be annoying.
Yeah, absolutely. That's an absolute ripper.
I rate Avalanche pretty highly, which is why my tasting stock never lasts. Here's your staff allocation.
How frequently is this coming?
gotta ration this out. Brick Lane are actually very generous. They send out a carton every so often to the house stuff like that. We get our staff allocation, which is, you know, it's fantastic. Getting a free carton of beer every now and again, plus being able to try these beers before they hit the market. Dream job.
it's definitely seems to be like an aspect of Brick Lane. Like, you know, going back to the ones we had on the last time we did this.
The sours, they blew me away. I remember that.
All the beers are just all just highly approachable, but not low in taste. If that makes sense, you know. Like, it's, for people like us that love a craft beer, we can go in there. Oh, we can understand the flavors. But I imagine if you get a non-craft beer drinking, picking one of these up, they're not going to be put off by, you know, the weird shit coming out of it. Like, it's just a really nice balance of a full flavor, but not, you know, repellent sort of craft beer, you know what I mean?
It's sort of the Holy Trinity. The women on price, flavour, and standardisation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's 100%. And that's the big thing for us, is making sure that the core range does well.
Yeah.
Because seasonals move themselves, you know?
Correct.
We don't get enough of seasonals to sort of, you know, worry that we're going to be sitting on any, because they go like that.
So, they've just got down pat.
Yeah. So we've just got to focus on getting core range out and about and just getting in people's faces. So. Yeah.
All right, so now time for the main events on this Brick Lane special. We have got, courtesy of Josh here, the Trilogy of Fear, the limited release series has come out from Brick Lane Brewing. I'm really excited about these. First one we're going to try is Baba Yaga Russian Imperial Stouts. Josh, do you want to tell us about this one?
Yeah, mate. So this is part one of the Trilogy of Fear. Baba Yaga, obviously, we were just, you know, talking before. It's about the whole Russian wives' tale about the boogeyman, or
John Wick.
My boss will love you. Ever since this has come out, he's been sharing all those John Wick posters. And it looks, you know, it steals an awesome hardcore bloke. So when he shares his stuff, you know that it's like, you know, he's not just doing it because it's
John Wick. I love this on the can. Coaxing dormant bourbon spirits from the depths of the juiciest barrels, risk evoking her, conjuring her, whispering her name. I like it.
it's a very scary beer at 12%.
Let's say 4.7 standard drinks in one can.
Yeah. It looks like something regular in your fridge, Russell.
Yeah. So it is a big beer. You know, I highly suggest we sort of slowly go through this so that we can try it at different temperatures.
Yeah, good idea.
Because it opens up. It does bloom as it gets warmer. But in saying that, we should try it cold as well.
Try it all the way
through.
Now, this is interesting. Like, Peter, you're not a big fan of bourbon aged
stouts. No, I have not found one that I've enjoyed so far.
Yeah.
So,
do you like bourbon?
No. Okay. So that's a challenge.
Which gives perspective. If you're not a bourbon drinker or you're bourbon liker, then probably listen to Pity, and if you're a normal person like the rest of us, then just ignore
him. So it's funny because I enjoyed the rum based ones, but bourbon is just not my drink.
Yeah,
these can art on these are just amazing as well.
We've been we obviously get all the artwork sent to us prior to, and a lot of info sent to us prior to.
Imagine being part of that team. Like, you know, the digital team, like, and explaining, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And they just get so creative and just jump down that rabbit hole.
And I could be wrong, but there's one, we've only got the one graphic designer that does it for us, but a lot of our influence comes from the whole team. So we, on a Friday afternoon, quite often, we'll have a whole company-wide Zoom drinks, and it's not about work, it's just us, you know, having a chat and stuff like that. And ideas get bounced around and thrown around, and that's where we come up with stuff like this. Which really shows that we are a community and not really
massive. Love that. Like, just you explain that, it's like fucking Google for breweries. You know, like, everyone's a part of the community.
Yeah, 110%. And we are, you know, one big family, and you know, it's pretty good. It's good also the respect that you automatically get given just by putting on the Brick Lane shirt.
This beer is pretty,
I can't get over the smell.
It's pretty epic. Well, there's certainly a lot of that, just on the taste, like that, the bourbon booziness to it.
That's it. If you had opened up a bottle of bourbon and just sniffed it, that's sort of what you get in.
It's got also like that dried fruit, that raisiny kind of taste to it. But yeah, it's just got it's kind of slight now. I've had a bigger mouthful. That slight boozy burn of the that tastes like the bourbon going through, and just
it's interesting because I find it starts out very bourbony, and you sort of go and then it mellows, and you sort of get this chocolatey and that stout flavour through.
Is it real dark? The 60% cacao sort of dark chocolate kind of coming through,
molasses and that sort of taste to it as well. So it starts off. And for someone that doesn't drink bourbon, you just then it suddenly changes to this one that's familiar, and you're like, I don't mind that.
My first ever experience with a bourbon barrel aged stout was the KBS from Founders. And I was at my mate's 30th birthday, and we're going to see the Broncos beat Cowboys, so we went to Milstead.
Yeah.
And they had
been Milton.
Yeah.
You only had a fucking
Milton. The side one is hitting him already.
The Milton Newstead brew is called Milstead.
Oh, is it?
Hang on, now let me pull out the reverse. Burn me. No, but
just pop down there, banana foster. Oh,
fuck. We can tell you get out a lot.
But, the pouring old men, mate.
Yeah. Sorry, what am I? The pouring young boy. But anyway, I haven't been accepted in the club yet. Sorry to say that. It's disrespectful. I was at a mate's 30th birthday, and he said, those KBSs are great. And I had no idea what they were, and I was already pretty lit. And I just said, I'll have two KBSs. And the guy goes, $40. And I went, all right, no worries. There you go, buddy. gave him the $40 and went out there, and then realised that we had to run across to Suncorp immediately. So we had to deck. Both of us had to deck these KBSs.
What are they weighing? What's it?
It was like 12. Oh, it was like 11.8% or something like that.
Still, that's Lego, but I'm 101.
So it was bang. We smashed that. They had a Hawaiian beer that was a seasonal or something or other, and we smashed that down as well. And we get over to Suncorp, and we're both just like, we're wrecked. We're destroyed. And like, we're stumbling. We're right at the very top. We're not even somewhere close down. So we had to go up every set of stairs in some kind of stadium.
Yeah.
And we're up there, and we're just like, drinks? Yeah, right, drinks. And I think we sat on, you know, two bourbons each for the entire game. We were just trying not to fall over and roll down.
Got paranoia goggles for security and shit.
Yeah. But it was a bloody good stout. But I think the big key thing with this versus the KBS is the KBS is more of that Wild Turkey style bourbon, whereas this has got a little bit more of that Jack Daniels style, a little bit sweeter, but a little bit more, I guess, profound. So it stands out a little bit more. But as you said before, it's dark chocolate.
Yeah.
A little bit of touch of vanilla. It's only very small.
Yeah. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just gives, a little bit of that sweetness just to finish off. So,
And I look, again, I'm not a big fan of dark beers, of stouts, I like my porters.
Yep.
But stouts sometimes are just a little bit too much. But these have got enough sweetness in them that I can...
Kicks it over that hill.
Yeah, exactly right. Like, I love dessert beers. Like, the beers that Bacchus put out are next level. And this is just right up there.
That's well said about Bacchus too.
Yeah.
Yeah, where you get all them... guys that are trying to flex about stouts, they're like, oh man, I'm a fucking Bacchus man. You know? It's a different fucking game. You know?
Yeah.
They sort of aim at that sort of.
There's a sweetness to them a lot of the time and a familiarity in flavors.
Yeah.
So it's almost a middle ground where, again, I struggle with some of the really dark, brooding stouts.
Yep.
So the Bacchus ones are just like, you smack. Almost smash them because they are that little bit of sweetness or fruit and that sort of thing. So,
I love their Sex, Drugs, and Rocky Road.
Oh, that's my first ever Bacchus beer. Yeah. And today, that's in the pantheon of favorite beers of all time.
The pantheon.
They make some good stuff. That peanut butter jelly time, like.
I would have had that one.
Fucking miss that one.
Oh, so good. Timmy Ho's double double. Yep. Although I wasn't a big fan of this year's one. So,
I think this year's one I had, but that's the coffee and donuts one, is it?
No, it's just coffee. Just coffee. Right. It's a coffee milk stout.
Because there's one I had. It might have been that one. It just tasted like bad brewed coffee rather than actually good coffee.
Yeah.
And that's the issue I had with that one, I think.
It was watery coffee. It wasn't very good this year. But,
International roast.
Yeah. I was going to say it was like cafe.
Stop saying that. We've got to talk to Ross first before we start saying that.
Wait, Ross, you make amazing beers.
This is all the way.
It just,
He has listened to a couple of shows, we know that. So.
Yeah, 99% of his beers are
fucking top
exceptional.
Yeah.
They did a collaboration with quite a few different brewers, like Black Hops, Bacchus, Wade Curtis jumped on board. I don't know if he was with anybody at the time, but all these amazing brewers brewed this thing called Bandwagon.
Yeah, right.
And it was a wagon wheel. And like the artwork for it was great. It was like all these breweries jumping onto a wagon. It was quite cool. But I think it was Black Ops, Bacchus.
Yeah,
there are a couple others as well that jumped on board. That
kind of get this hot.
Yeah, absolutely. Make sure it gets possible. I'm just decked.
My wife's warming up internally.
I'm just decked.
Do you want a smidge more to warm up?
It's all good. I'm
attention.
I just want to hold myself back.
Oh, geez, I
can't
with this.
It's funny because I am finding it is slightly changing. The bourbon isn't hitting as hard to start with. It's just...
It's going
to
be smoother.
It's there, but... Yeah, more.
Well, the booze burn is warming rather than overpowering, and it's just
which is unusual.
It's like a wooden nook in an Irish pub.
Yeah,
it's just comforting and nice.
You were layering it on thick today, buddy. Come on, Dan.
Did you have a little extra before you came?
Not yet.
I'm not part of the brew team. I cannot claim credit to any of this, but they were testing it. They were testing it all the time, trying to see where the sweet sweet spot was, I guess.
Because these things could easily take off.
Big time, especially when you're aging it on these types of wood. And we'll get to it a bit later, but the Amberana, is different again to bourbon barrels. So.
It's going to be good by the end of it.
The vanilla starts to become more prominent.
Yeah, right.
I feel bad, Ross.
I feel silly just because I couldn't restrain myself and not drink it.
It's fine. Like, now, this is what I'm going to have.
This is my chicken.
I was literally saying, let's. I really want
you,
to.
You boys sipping away with your lovely beers. I'm doing shots over here. Shots.
125 mil 12% shots.
So final word on Baba Yaga. Now that it's warmed up in the glass, but boys, what do you reckon?
Definitely a little bit more mellow.
Yeah,
110%.
Yeah, I see what Pity you were saying about the vanilla coming through. Yeah, that really starts to come through quite warm.
Good polished finish.
The booziness kind of faded a bit. Like it's a lot smoother with a bit warmer in the glass and. Yeah.
Oh, it's funny you should say that you get a little bit of vanilla out of it because next one is actually cacao vanilla.
All right, so round two of the Trilogy Affair. We're about to round four of the day. This is a big, big scorecard today. A big lineup today. We are delving into the Leviathan. Again, aged in bourbon barrel. This is a cacao, vanilla, imperial stout. Josh, who was the headline read of this one?
Well, pretty much it's the same base wort. Well, all of them were the same base wort as the Baba Yaga. But instead we've thrown in cacao nibs,
yep,
which is chocolate, pretty much, and fresh vanilla. So we did get vanilla from somewhere special. I'm blanking on it right now.
Madagascar. Anytime there's a connoisseur ice cream or the fancy ice cream, they always specify Madagascar vanilla.
Yeah,
okay. Well, so exotic.
Yeah,
we got it from somewhere special. But it was nice, nice fresh vanilla, and we chucked that in as well. So pretty much it's same beer, just aged with cacao vanillas and vanilla.
Oh, yeah, this cacao is pretty amazing.
And I reckon the Leviathan's the best one.
Yeah.
And when we were at Hotel West End, it was quite dark inside, so people couldn't really see the submarine. But when they started to notice the submarine, they were like, oh, wow, that is really, really so sick.
The blurb on side can, I'm really enjoying these. We pray offering cacao nibs and vanilla beans will placate the elder gods, save they be awakened to remind us of the insignificance of humanity. There you go.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, no worries. Let me tell you, we are, they're quite creative down south.
Yeah.
Because I definitely couldn't come up with something like that.
To be harsh, they got plenty of time.
Yeah.
All right. Gonna crack away at this one.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm actually shitting myself now. Number two. The fear is real.
Yeah. So this one's 12%.
Yeah, 12%.
Now, this is the first time that Brick Lane's done something like this. Like the,
110%. Yeah, it's the first time we've done something like this. As with everything we do, we want to make sure that it's viable, sustainable, and there's something that we can get out of it or do it again in the future. So, yeah, you got a very small amount over there.
Yeah, legitimate reason.
Okay. Yes. I guess I'm Ubering, so it's all good.
Doesn't have anywhere near as strong a booze smell.
The chocolate is a big feature out of this one, but as it warms up, the vanilla actually takes over. Still has that bourbon hit, but as he said, it's more mellowed out and it's a little bit more more of a warming effect than anything else. Not really much of a burn. So.
That smells, the more chocolatey. It's not doesn't smell as dark chocolatey as the Baba Yaga. But it's definitely still got that little chocolate sort of nose coming through.
I do like it too. Like less of a booze smell. Still 4.7 standard drinks in
there. They just disguise the booze with a bit of vanilla.
I find this one just that little bit more in your face than Baba Yaga at the start. But as it warms up, it becomes easier to drink than... Than Baba Yaga.
Fuck, that's creepy. So,
it looks so sick.
But you feel that, looking at it, you feel the fear, like the insignificant size of fucking submarine to imagine seeing that shit coming for you.
I don't know if you guys ever played, there's a video game called Inside. It's a 2D, like, atmospheric platformer thing. And this is what it reminds me of. It's also like this game called Limbo by the same people, and it's dark, kind of graphics like that. It's really cool.
They are polarizing different.
Yeah,
which is interesting too.
For the same beer.
Yeah.
What was the last one? Was it 12% as well?
They're both 4.7 standards.
Yeah. So, to do the Trilogy of Fear in a night would take some effort.
the Trilogy of Fear,
challenge accepted.
Don't worry. Like when it first came out, the owner of the company was in lockdown at the time. Because he was coming up from Melbourne, quarantining.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he lives up here, so sometimes he gets trapped up here. But he had to do the quarantine, and he did them all in one night, but had them all at different temperatures and extremely different temps. And, it gave him quite a good sort of reading on the beer all the way through, and he was sending us detailed, opinions of it. And,
that's good. That's what you want,
And then my boss, Steelo, did it as well. And, it's something that I don't think I'm up to doing at the moment.
Not man enough. I'm not a man.
What was it? 4.7, 4.7. So what's that? That's like 9.4% standard drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other one's 10.6, more.
Yeah.
So
it's less. 10.6.
Oh, it's 10.6. I thought it was more. Okay.
No.
Just a waste.
That's only pretty keen.
But it's still half a carton of standard beer.
Well, yeah. There's like, yeah, it's like 12, 13, 14 standard drinks in the three cans.
Yeah.
So.
Imagine drinking 12 One Loves in 2 hours.
it's efficiency. You tell them, I only had 2 beers tonight. I mean, they were 12% each, but
it was funny. That night we did the Kronos episode.
Yep.
When I went to bed, Mrs. is like, oh, did you just finish the podcast? I'm like, yeah, yeah, we did. And she goes, how many beers you had? Oh, just the podcast beers. You were blind. Yep. Because what we had, they ended up having a few, didn't we?
Yeah, we had a couple more of the podcast beers.
The podcast kept going.
Well, it's like whenever we do an event, you know, most of the time we're at the back having beers as well.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, we sit down and by the end of the event you go, probably had a good 20 beers today. If not a little bit more, you know, it's a work day.
Where does it stop?
Yeah. So do we mentioned the launch event for this, have we?
No.
Tell us about the launch of this.
Yeah, so Steelo organised with Greeny from Sense of Taste. He manages a lot of the Sense of Taste stores here in Brisbane. And for those of you who don't know what Sense of Taste is, it is, you know, the finer... the finest star liquor, you know, they've got, you know,
you're talking like the premier version of
star liquor. So they get like, you know, top end beers, top end wines, spirits, and then they also have, you know, like some cheeses and pates and, you know, cured meats and stuff like that as well.
Nice.
So it's pretty much if you go in there looking for an experience rather than anything else.
Yeah.
And still organised an event to happen at Hotel West End. I think it was $20 a ticket. You get to try all of the Trilogy of Fears plus a cheese board.
Oh, $20. $20.
$20, I think it was. $20 a ticket, I'm pretty certain. Might
be. What are you? We paid more there for the Helios launch and we got like the shitty burgers
and a double IPA. Yeah.
We got cheeses from La Fromagia that's out there on the side of the night. So we got these artisanal crackers, they had like pine nuts on there, blueberries.
Yeah. Could you like flick us something next door?
Yeah. We need to go around this, yeah.
Sure. It was really good. Like Greeny and Steelo organised an amazing event and we had the pleasure of actually having PB come down and talk about the beers. Obviously, you know, he knows a lot more about them and can go into extreme detail. So it was good to have him on board and doing those talks because you learn stuff at the same time.
Great.
You're sitting there, you go like, okay, well, this is just an extra bit of my selling, you know, points that I can put to people is, you know, oh, wow, I heard this, you know. And, yeah, it was just a great event. Everyone was engaged.
No,
they were asking the necessary. Yeah, they're asking the necessary. Well, there's one ticket, but...
There's always one there.
There's always one.
They rolled in from the news.
Fucking set. Pity.
No, they rolled in from a new beer release at Newstead down the road.
Oh.
And then, yeah, they came into the event and we were just like... All right. Yep, you're the dillweed. But everyone else was really cool. They asked, you know, necessary questions, and there was actually a bloke who did a post up in Brisbane Beer Barons, a massive review.
Mm,
and he was just sat there by himself, just enjoying the beers, and you know, his knowledge was next level. You know, so I was sitting there going, okay, well, I can answer every question that I know. There might be some things where it's like, hey, BB, I need you to come over here, mate.
I think that's what actually got my attention was that guy's post.
Yeah. It was really, really good of him too. So, yeah. But they're like, yeah, just sensational beers. And I'm not a big stout drinker unless they've got some sweetness behind them. So, I love this style of...
I reckon we'll have a conversation in 2-3 years' time.
Yeah.
And you'll be completely different. You'll be like... I'm fucking chasing the Chungus. You know what I mean?
I'm chasing
the big shit.
Yeah.
It's funny, 18 months ago, sours were my thing, and then I'd have pale ales and hazies. Now, give me a good West Coast or Porter Stout.
Yeah.
Enjoying. So it changes. I still enjoy a sour every now and then, but...
I think the key thing is this. Like stouts used to come, you know, winter come around and be a couple of stouts and all the same, blah blah blah. Whereas now, like the market's just exploded this year. Like,
I think
the range, the variety, and the creativity in the beers coming out during this year has just been out there. to wrap up this one, so Leviathan Cacao Vanilla, I can't see the rest of the can.
Imperial Stout.
And a beer thoughts, boys.
I really liked how it finished warmer. It was, again, well-rounded. But you do need to appreciate it cold to get that.
Interestingly, I found with this one, it started off with a lot of that chocolate and vanilla. As it warmed up, I thought the booze actually
was I found that as well. It was almost like the Baba Yaga slammed in reverse. Yes. Like it started off really with the chocolate and the vanilla, then all of a sudden the booze started to creep through as it warmed up. It's
throwing me off. I'm glad someone else
did.
Well, that's what I was trying to say earlier. I don't know if I actually said it that way, but that is what I was trying to say.
I thought maybe I was just getting too pissed and sad.
Look, sometimes, look, after a 12% beer, two of them,
Is that booze starts
it starts coming through, warming up so it's
which is odd. I actually prefer it where it eases off and all the other flavours come through.
Bloody enjoying it though.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a cool little thing. Like, break it down a bit, the Trilogy of Fear. Like, you go and buy a beer, you get a beer, fucking whoop beer. But doing the Trilogy of Fear experience...
It's an experience, yeah.
That's fucking awesome. Yeah, I mean, I'm fucking really enjoying it.
No. So we highly recommend for people to try it across a day and have some
You're not doing it.
Responsible drinking. Yeah, we encourage responsible drinking.
Try it with different snacks. Yeah. You know, like...
You've got a pair of food.
Yeah, exactly right, you know. And it could work anywhere with... It could work with chocolates. It could work with, darker style lollies. It could be, you know, whatever, cheese and crackers, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, just pair it with something and really try and explore the beer.
It opens your mouth up, though.
Yeah.
But there's just so many different... Being that it is such a high ABV beer, there's so many avenues of flavour.
That's right, yeah.
You know, depending on where you go.
Steppenwolf, Magic Carpet Ride. That's the fucking song. that wraps it up.
Time now for our Trilogy of Fear intermission. Just to give our palates a break from being hammered with stouts and high ABVs, we're having just a cheeky One Love Pale Ale. This was supposed to be part of our first Brick Lane episode we did, but I drank it before we made it to the podcast, so yeah.
It's not typical.
They're pretty easy accessible though.
What can you tell us about this one, just quickly, Josh?
Yeah, mate. Well, One Love Pale Ale, pretty much just a down-to-earth pale ale. Yeah.
It's quite citrusy, isn't it?
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, good tropical flavour, mate. It's just an easy down-to-earth pale, mate. Won quite a few awards. I think most recently it won gold medal at the Australian Independent Beer Awards, which is, you know, actually about... beer, about how the beer tastes. Like, you know, Gabs has its place. And we had four.
As long as you understand exactly what Gabs is, it's fine. As long as you don't use Gabs as a testament to quality.
Popularity contest is what Gabs is.
Yeah.
But it's the same with the radio, you know, when they do the hottest 100 on the radio, it's a popularity contest. Who listens to it
first? Exactly,
so it has its place
Was it? Who won that hottest 100 one year and everyone blew up? Wasn't it?
Monkey.
It's your birthday?
Oh.
Really? Fly rider? One year or something stupid.
Oh, jeez.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, you threw it in the club by 50 cent?
Oh, it might have been that.
Yeah. Man, you sound like the oldest man of the lot.
The only time I listened to the Hottest 100 is when I worked at the Prince Edward Hotel and we did the Hottest 100
and straight
beers on tap as well.
Funnily enough, I thought you were going to say when you work with Russ, because Russ isn't the Hottest 100 listener.
No, not
anymore.
No. When I stopped recognising any of the tunes on there, which about 10 years ago, I don't know that song.
It's like this new version of electric house music, maybe. I don't know.
That was our whole time together, because Russell was teaching me gaming opens and stuff like that. So we'd literally be clearing out gaming machines of a morning of 8 o'clock in the morning, and we'd just be talking shit, and he'd be like, "Oh, did you hear this song? Nah, I haven't heard that song, Russ. Oh, did you see this on the cricket? Oh, yes, I saw that on the cricket, Russ."
You know what's interesting about this? What I'm really worried about, I'm not really worried about, but it's something that's probably easy to be concerned about, is the cannibalization of Sidewinder.
You can say that. Yeah.
Like, that Sidewinder was, like, this is my go-to for Brick Lane Pale Ale. It's up there at the top echelon of Pale Ales if I just want to drink and just enjoy it.
Yeah.
That Sidewinder is frighteningly
it's pretty good, isn't it? 1.1%. It's pretty well.
Yeah, exactly right. Even myself, I'd probably buy that over.
I was going to say, I'm not a... It's not putting this down.
I'd actually prefer the Sidewinder. Not a slot on the one one, but just shows how clever of a beer that Sidewinder is. Fact that 1.1% can have, you know, that's stronger taste.
Yeah. Well, it's 100% props to our brew team. Yeah. It's John Selton.
They've done well.
Because clearly with Sidewinder, it's not like a, you know, a Harm Premium Lights or that sort of situation. No. They've taken a regular 5% beer and like just, you know, watered it down. They've specifically brewed it for that purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a shame that it's actually not high gravity brewed. Because high gravity brewing is essentially that, brewing a big beer and then spreading it out.
Mm.
By adding water.
Yeah, but well, not quite.
Well, you can do an Imperial Sidewinder at 2.2%.
Hey. That was the stuff I don't need to talk about. But thanks for the idea. I'm going to put it to him. In the next meeting, I'm going to put it to him.
Yeah.
Like, for me, Sidewinder is going to be the great beer for when I go and visit my brother. He lives an hour away up the Gateway motorway.
That's the market you're looking for.
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, he actually enjoys the Sidewinders too. So he could come around my place now instead of me having to drive to him every time. He can now come around to my place and drink Sidewinders and go home. Because, as I said, after two or three sips, you forget you're drinking a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm still baffled by it. It's hard to master a light beer.
Yeah, that's it.
It's very few. There's a Kolsch I tried from a brewery years ago that really, it was 2.3% or something, and I just went, how?
Yeah,
like that sort of piqued my mind a long time ago, and that light beer was really hard to master. That's fucking up there.
Yeah.
Even though we're meant to be talking about one.
It was a quick one run. How long has this segment gone for now? 20 minutes on one love.
It's not a bad beer, it's just that,
Look, let's put it this way. You're just surprised that Sidewinder is as close to One Love as...
Yeah,
the exactly. Sidewinder is getting more love now because we've done this. And this is the palate cleanser.
And I think that's probably the thing to go with is, if you like One Love, then Sidewinder is an amazing beer for the fact that you could have four of those to the equivalent of one Love.
Yeah. And to put that in perspective, talking about before with some awards that we won, Brick Lane won Best APA in Australia just recently as well.
Really? Yeah.
It's pretty solid. Like Red Hoppy won Best Amber, Revolver won Best Porter in Australia. So we've got pretty solid awards.
Yeah,
you
know? Should we complete the trilogy?
Let's
go.
Let's do it.
I'm a bit fucking scared.
All right, time now to wrap up the Trilogy Affair. This is round three. This is part three. This is the Abyss. Ace on Amberana Imperial Stout. This is the mid-strength of the lineup, only 10.4%. Just a lazy 4.1 standard drink.
So it's not like just cracked the four.
Yeah. So,
we got 3 or 4 of these drive home.
So Josh, what can you tell us about this one?
Yeah, mate. So it's different from the other two on the fact that it's aged on different wood. It's also a different spirit. So the Amberana traditionally ages rum over in Brazil or South America, not just stuck to Brazil. But our head brewer, John, is a professional judge. So he travels all over the place and does judging and stuff like that. And he was over in Brazil and heard about this Amberana stuff and tried a few things over there and was immediately on to PB and just went, Amberana, we've got to do something with Amberana, and voila, we've now done it. So again, the same base beer as the other two, just with slight tweaks and obviously aged on Amberana. So we got a bit of a low yield on this one. So you're extremely lucky. This is one of very few cans that we have in Queensland, little on this side of Brisbane.
I've been looking forward to.
I think it's the one we're all
I was googling the other night, what the hell is Amberana? Yeah, it's a Brazilian wood that makes the cask out of, and it got onto the radar I think about 3 years ago. You remember Against the Grain Brewery, that beer we reviewed had like the guys with the shitty undies on the can?
Yes.
Against the But that brewery there, they made a stout on the, it was half Amberana, half bourbon aged. And that beer won best stout or best dark beer in America in 2018, I think. That's, yeah. And I was reading about that, so this is something I'm really, really curious about.
It's a whole new level. It's entirely different to the other two. And again, you want to talk about the evolution of beers, it changes. I mean, talking from 20 degrees to 15 to 10 and then to 5, it's a whole new level. Yeah. So this is what I'm really, really keen to try as it warms up.
Because apparently the Emberana barrels, they put different flavors into the beer as opposed to oak. And you get all these flavors and all you get from adjuncts and additives into the beer, but they come straight from the barrel itself.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the barrel is actually a little bit more porous than the others as well, so it absorbs a little bit more.
Mm.
But is it one-time use type of stuff? So once
it we're not going to use them again. We could, but it's just not going to have the same effect. So look, we finally decided what we're going to do with them. There were a few things put forward, and one of my ideas was to chop up the barrel and put it in some acrylic. And have it as a point of sale, something to look at as well, and just a little bit of story behind the beers as well.
Just gonna have the barrels and drink off them.
Well, we didn't have that many barrels.
Oh, right.
What we're gonna do is we're gonna chop them all up, and now they're gonna be turned into like staff awards and stuff like that.
That's cool.
Yeah, nice.
Which is really cool.
I like that, man.
Yeah.
What is Brick Lane for an organisation?
Yeah.
That's it.
We're not, again, not an organisation, we're a community.
All right, let's crack on. Let's crack on.
Yeah, let's do this.
You do the honors, mate.
Why not? But yeah, we were so excited for this bad boy, and we're extremely happy where it ended up.
Have there been any other Emberana beers in Australia? It's the first time I've come across it.
That's a great question. I haven't seen any.
Yeah.
So,
I've never heard of it.
No. This is the first time I've done it. I only learned what I did just from trying to get an understanding.
You nearly lost yours.
I did. I'm going to share some of mine as well with you.
I was going to say there's going to be no replacements.
This is one I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I didn't want to look for the others, but
this was sort of the highlight.
Again, it's something new. So
it's entirely new. And again, try it cold. Try it through the different temperatures, because it's. The evolution of it is insane.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hey, that's fucking different.
I'm just trying to pick. Have you tasted it or just smells it?
No, I just tried it.
You just tried it, yeah.
That flavour, and you can tell it's to do with the barrel.
Yeah.
It's not rummy, but
there's almost a smokiness to it.
It's like chili, but without the spice.
I think you're getting closer to it.
Yeah, it's like a bit of. There's almost a bit of cinnamon as well.
I understand that smoke type of thing.
You know, a little bit of earthiness.
Yeah,
that's true. It sits on the back of your tongue too, whereas the other two, they're very much towards the centre and the front, whereas it very much sits on the back.
And so the mid pellet versus.
For this one, it's literally just the stout's gone in the barrel and that's it. There's been nothing added, no cacao, no banana, no nothing.
I expected it to be. Oh, sorry, Russell.
So this is just. The beer out of the barrel. It's the flavour that's added in there just from the barrel.
Yeah. I expect it to be sweeter.
Wait until it warms up.
Yeah.
Wait until it warms up.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So you do get that roastiness at the start, but it's like a sweet roastiness.
Yeah, it's different. That's like it's not like the Baba Yaga.
No.
Where it just sort of like...
Yeah.
And then you had the Leviathan, which was sort of like getting deeper.
Yeah.
Which the name sort of suits it in a weird way.
Mm.
This is different again. This is the abyss.
Yeah, because nobody really knows.
It's the unknown. Really
yeah, exactly right. That's the unknown.
Yeah.
The
good product place.
So, but the thing was. Oh, sorry. So the thing was.
He's still in the photo.
He's taking a photo. I stole the can.
You asked me on my socials.
No, you're not allowed to take the can. There were actually there was a wine that had a similar look. To the front as well, which I was like, oh, that's pretty much the same, but it is different once you have a little bit of a look at it. That and the fact that the shoots had the abyss as well.
Just to finish off my canned trilogy here. Quiet conversations of spicy Emberana floating upon liquid darkness pay homage to the silence of the screams found beyond the portal. There you go.
That's fucked up.
That's creepy shit. So I think out of the abyss and the art style and stuff, I still think it looks amazing, oh, like brilliant. Spectacular.
Yeah.
And out of our three cans, I think the Leviathan.
The Leviathan, it's just
Like I think it's just the scale of the submarine. Like I said before, it just freaks me out a bit.
It's the same
brooding one. The Leviathan is brooding. It's
It reaches under that same fear as like Jaws, where you just don't know what's underneath you.
Interesting. Just to sort of sum that up, not to throw a quick story in. When I was 12, I grew up in far north Queensland, as most people know now. I used to do a bit of spear fishing in the Great Barrier Reef. And I remember the first time I went out, Dad took me. I used to do surf life saving. I was a pretty good open water swimmer. We were at this bommy, which is probably a 30-meter bommy. It's fair depth. And I was swimming around. And I remember my dad touched me going, "Get out." And I went, "Okay." And I got out. And as I was turning around, it would have been at least probably 15-foot like tiger shark.
Yeah, right.
Oh, mate, I was like 3.5 But just when you're looking at it underwater, it looked like little.
Yeah.
Like just because of the clarity of water. And when it got closer, it was like, get fucked. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's the fear I feel when I look at that submarine.
Well, it's like what I like to think it's like a crocodile. You know, if you're up there in the NT, like I was pretty much raised, my early years were in the NT, so
you understand that.
So I would go swimming in this place up in Tyndall.
Rafferty.
So we'd go up there, there's this place just, I think it was a bit, I don't know where it was, but went to this place that was around that area, and there were crocs constantly in there, there were snakes. You know, big fucking python, whatever, up and rocks.
Big python, whatever. Yeah,
and you just go swimming as a kid. You'd go, because there are enough people in there that stick away. But you know, you'd get too far down, they'd be like, no, don't go that far.
Yeah, come back.
Yeah, come back from there. At least it was clear water. But you know, think about it from the dark water of a crocodile. They can see you. They can feel you.
Ultimate predator.
You know where they are. Yeah, 110%. And like, we're going camping next month, and the missus was like, oh, you know, it's floating the idea of bringing the dogs, and I just thought. No. I'm just thinking like crocodiles, all these other things. Like, and I've got these little tiny dogs.
We've all seen the videos.
They think they're massive. They think they're huge. Yeah, exactly right. They think they're bloody pit bulls, but really they're toy poodles. It's like, they're gonna run down there and be like, "Don't worry, I'll protect you, Dad." It's like, your ass back here, you little fucks.
It wants you to do that.
Yeah. You're gonna be a fluffy lunch. Yep. So what do we think now? It's slightly touched. Warmed up a touch.
I can't believe the difference between that.
It's amazing what wood does. Hey,
yeah,
it's incredible.
Subtly, sort of coconutty, sort of flavor to it.
But
coconut.
Yeah,
so somebody else said that at the Hotel West End tasting. Yeah, nobody else got it, but somebody else did. So that's
just
weird.
Very subtle.
It's like the I see we got it. It's like the aftertaste of coconut. So you have the coconut, get that, and the aftertaste that
lingers. It's not that. Initial sweetness of it. Just the. Yeah, just
almost like
very
a lemon
subtle.
It's almost like now that you say
that desiccated coconut. Just that.
I kind of dismissed the coconut statement that the guy made at hotel. So I was like, oh, coconut, but now I'm actually kind of good
as it warms up. Yeah, that. Yeah, the Lavington's probably
well,
the best
I'm
reference because it's
the,
that chocolatey
that spice cinnamon kind of like flavour. That's what's all lingering with me.
Yeah.
Like an apple crumble Lavington. It's a different sensation, man.
You can't explain it.
If you can get your hands on it, like that's...
Just trying to get your head around it. Like, we could keep throwing coconuts or... Sabro hops or whatever.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's the
wood is
it's exceptional.
So that's the thing. Like John Selton, he's pretty switched on. He's very switched on. So as soon as he found it, he's just like, we're doing it immediately.
Yeah. Hence why it's very limited.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was also a low yield because again, I think it was more porous. So it was an extremely low yield compared to the other two. So to put it in perspective, I got 3 cartons of each and a keg of each of the Abyss. And 10 plus cartons of Leviathan and Baba Yaga. But Leviathan and Baba Yaga are also selling better because people, it's a known, you know, whereas the Amberine is sort of an unknown, which is the way we like it because we want people to experience Amberine. you know, not just go, oh, this doesn't taste anything like the other.
See, I'll be the opposite. The thing I don't know, that's the thing I'll go for.
Yeah, I
don't know what that is.
You're that 1% of the market.
Yes.
That would have bought that.
The experience aspect, whereas I know chocolate vanilla. I know a Russian Imperial.
Yeah.
What the fuck is Air Burana?
Yeah.
I'd be instantly like...
And it wouldn't have Googled it in the shop either.
No. It would have just been, I'll pick that up. I'd pick up my other three beers to make my mix for and just go, oh, yep, we'll go with that.
Well, they've sold extremely well. So Hotel West End, I think, pretty much out of them. But like... Places out here at Ipswich, like the PA, they're a little bit slower moving for those styles.
Could imagine they have the people won't be disappointed when they try it. Just the thing is trying to get it in their face to.
That's why I gave them the keg, because I thought that the PA would be the best place in my territory anyway for those kegs in terms of the way that, you know, they've got enough taps there, so you know they've got the variety. But on top of that too, they understand that it's going to take a little bit for those stouts to move because they are very high ABV stouts, you know, whereas some other venues, they wanted to move a little bit quicker, and better they are big stouts, you know, it's sort of, it's sometimes harder.
You say had three or four in a session sort of thing. Yeah.
But Brewski, like for example, they sold their kegs in a week. So it just depends on
what you're going. It's not like someone paying $30 for a skinny for a drink.
But if you come in here, switch way, like the PA is obviously the place to go for craft beer. It's just one of those things where it was a smart decision to put them there.
I want to swing by the PA after bowls next week. So
definitely.
I mean, if I'm going for bowls, we're just going there.
if you ask nicely, they might even do, you know, a growler or a squealer fill for you.
They're pretty good like that, actually.
Yeah, they're pretty solid over there. Again, an independent business, so family owned and operated. But look, if you spot the abyss out and about, listeners,
absolutely,
rabbit them in.
If only the main reason, because it's something different, something unique. Yeah. But and also, it's just bloody delicious as well. It is a phenomenal beer.
The delicious flavor is just, that's the thing.
Yeah,
it's not.
And because normally to get that sort of flavor, it's loaded as almost like a pastry stout. So you get that kind of.
It's not pastry though.
Yeah, but it doesn't have the pastry in it. You know what I mean? It's a pastry style that's loaded up with cinnamon, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and all
that. Whereas it doesn't have that. It's just the pure flavour of that.
You don't have that butteriness to
that, it. Exactly, yeah. And it just works. And of the three, I rate these three very, very highly. And this is my favourite of three.
I'm glad we've done this. I feel really privileged.
Yeah.
Mate, good luck finding some. I know the PA, they didn't get Leviathan straight off the bat. They have the Abyss and Bubba Yoga, but now they've got all three available. Mm-hmm. So they're the closest place to you. But, mate, the Abyss is going to fly off the door.
I see this probably in the next 12, probably 24 months. That's going to be, you know, the cool thing to do is have.
There'll be a lot of people doing it now.
Yeah. I'm keen to do the vertical if we do them again. I'm saving a couple of cans for myself.
Would it hold there, you reckon?
Yep.
Well, yeah, they'll age nicely as long as they kept in a fridge.
It's a question that me and Russell have had.
Keep
he's keen to do it like with something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Age it. Yeah.
Well, I'd love to have just a dedicated beer fridge where, some of those you can just sit at the back of the fridge and just...
Fuck, that's my fridge, man.
Well, I've got
some aging just because I forgot I had the 4-pack of Respire in the back of my fridge. I loaded all this other stuff in front of it. I went through, I'm going to drink tonight. That's where I had the can last night. Yeah. I've got Respire there still.
maybe that's what I'm going to start doing is like putting it in the back and putting other beers in front.
Well, I haven't been in the bottle shop this week. My whole week's like... open up, man. It's like a lucky dip. You know what I mean? There's just so many random bits and pieces in there.
My fridge at the moment, my bar fridge, is loaded up with a shit ton of old sours. The missus went, this looks good, this looks good, this looks good. No. And she's loading them up, and she hasn't drank them yet. So they're sitting on the left-hand side of the fridge, all stacked up. And I'm talking, we got like the Sea Legs cherry sour or whatever it was. Yeah. Some other apps of crackers, can't remember off the top of my head, but they're all sitting along there. And she's like, I'll get into them. But she always just grabs a one love out of the fridge. Actually, Sidewinder's now her pick as well. I just want a normal beer. And it's like, well, then why don't we go out and buy these sours?
Yeah.
Just let them up. But I've also got you know, some things that I know I'm not going to drink for a long time, which is I got a 2019 Imperial Money, well, sorry, Old Money from Stockade.
Oh, Stockade, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Got one of them. I've got a KBS sitting in the fridge. I've got the three Amberanas in the
box. What's he going to drink them, though?
Question. I mean, I had two KBSs, but I cracked
it. Celebration beers. He's still young. He's still shit to celebrate.
His retirement party, open it up, it's just like soot comes in.
No, sometimes when we do these like staff Zoom parties, we
do a random
try and outdo each other on what beer we get. Nice. And it's, you know, we don't really say it, but we're all trying to outdo each other on what beers we got. And Jared Castillo's got like some really awesome customers in the city.
Yeah, yeah.
He generally gets the awesome shit.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm glad I've got Saccharomyces as one of my customers.
Saccharomyces.
Yeah, it's one of my only customers that is north of the river. So it's like, you know, I'm pretty lucky that I've got been able to have the opportunity to grab beers from there. But generally it's like, how can we outclass each other? So in a year's time when I've still got some of these, like, hey, look what I've got, boys.
Wouldn't last a year in my fridge.
I just had the last of it then.
It's pretty good.
It, when it's really hot, it's fucking good.
Yeah.
More of that rummy flavour starts to come through.
Yeah. But rum, not
You're right. It's kind of that spiced rum kind of thing coming through, isn't it?
The sugar cane.
Yeah. Yes. Like, yeah.
But it's not sweet. But yeah. It's that. It's not distinctive, molasses, but it's not molasses.
Yeah.
It's just very, it's very subtle too. Yeah. Like you can definitely taste the Amberana. That big taste that everyone's like, oh, I can't quite put my finger on it. That's Amberana.
In fact, I'm just like a playback. Yeah.
But yeah,
it's so interesting and good.
Definitely, there's a distinct change in flavours.
Yeah.
Like, yes, the other one sort of booze and then sort of chocolate and vanilla and then vice versa. But this one has distinct changes in flavour. It's really good.
Mm.
Yeah. You brought about having it third though, because it's...
The way that I see it is, I think you need to see the evolution of beer. Have a base beer that was, you know, just chucked on bourbon. Exactly right. Have that base beer and then just have the two variations. And I think that one's a good branch off of Baba Yaga as well, just by adding a little bit extra sweetness to it. So it's more of that dessert style beer rather than a Russian Imperial, even though it is. And then the Amberana, which is just totally new experience.
Yeah.
And if you haven't had Amberana before, it's, again, it blows your mind because you can't quite put your finger on what it is. Yeah,
exactly right. Yeah. Exactly what we're sort of like doing at the moment. Like, what is that?
What's that?
So this is actually, because I only had samples of this Hotel West End on that night. I haven't had anything else, so I haven't really experienced it warm. Because I was obviously doing other things during the event and engaging with people. So it was one of those things where I wasn't taking too much time to experience the beer. But now that I've had it warmed up, again, it's a different experience So it's fucking sensational.
Yeah.
I am right. It needs to be a feature.
Yes.
However, expensive. that's good. Well, thanks very much for
Thank you for bringing these beers. But it's been quite the sort of taste journey through all of them. From the extremes of going from a 1.1% beer right through to a 10.4 and what's the other one? 12%. It's been quite the journey. Josh, thank you very much for bringing these along. And
I'm very happy with that.
Well, Chris, anything you want to add?
Oh, man, I'm just... That was great.
Buy the abyss.
Yeah.
Don't buy the abyss. leave it. I'll take care of it.
I just can't believe you just put that together. That's it. That's a great experience in itself, which more people probably will start trending towards. The smoky, though, the side wonder. Keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, definitely.
That's absolutely just...
And the avalanche. Like, that was...
Oh, that was good,
Sidewinder has the quickest uptake with all of my customers behind Avalanche. So generally, whenever Avalanche launches, everyone just jumps on board.
Yep.
Sidewinder has been the second because people are just going,
Hazy sort of naturally go. But the Sidewinder, that's a smoky.
Definitely. Venturing into a new market,
But in terms of the Trilogy of Fear, fuck, I feel absolutely blessed that I got to experience that.
Cool. Well, that's about all we've got time for on this episode of The Pouring Old Man. Thank you very much for joining us, and again, a special thank you to Josh from Bricklane for allowing this episode to take the shape that it did. So
yes.
I've been Russell.
I'm Chris.
I think I'm still Anthony.
I'm Josh.
And we'll get you next time.